عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. أهلا وسهلا ومرحبا بكم جميعا أيها المستمعين والمستمعات. Beloved listeners of Radio Islam International, welcome back to Radio Islam International and to حياة طيبة with myself, معلمة شاكرة هند. الحمد لله. We're back to our regular scheduling on Mondays, Wednesdays and Fridays, alhamdulillah, from 2 to 3 p.m. I hope, inshallah, this hour is stimulating for you, inshallah, and builds your iman, allows you to grow and develop, inshallah. And jazakallah khair to all of those who take the time to listen and message. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you all. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make this month, inshallah, of Shawwal one of great closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as we are leading, inshallah, in preparation to the month of Dhul-Hijjah, subhanallah. It feels so surreal that we actually can say that you know, Hajj is coming up, and after 2 years, we are finally preparing for it. So, alhamdulillah, here on Hayatun Tayyiba, focus is, as always, is to learn different tools and to develop ourselves. And alhamdulillah, today we're speaking about something that, inshallah, I think is an important and integral part of the essence of our deen of Islam, yet, subhanallah, is so overlooked and something that we rarely speak about, right? And subhanallah, as Muslims, we believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created the universe. We know that Allah has given it laws. We can see how Allah has made it, that it runs in such amazing, amazing precision. It is so incredibly amazing to see that, subhanAllah, right? But among all of these beautiful creations, Allah has also created people. And He has given us different traits. Now, we tend to focus on the traits of, you know, mental traits usually, because we put our stock in our intelligence, in our expertise, in our experience. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given them emotional traits, spiritual traits, intellectual traits, and physical traits. He's given us all of these, subhanallah, right? And Allah has given us the responsibility of sustaining and protecting life here in this on earth, subhanAllah. So our responsibility is to make sure that we are being part of this kind of responsibility of the world that we live in, right? But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent us all these messengers. He sent us everything to ensure that we live this upright, you know, upright life. And Allah has made it that every part of Islam regulates our each component. Allah has made it such that every single thing we do is regulated by Islam, subhanAllah. And that is the ultimate beauty of it. Now, when we look at, you know, intellectual or we look at social aspects of our lives, we understand that, you know, with certain people, you've got to do this, you've got to do that, you have to live like this. Especially, you know, when you look at how to have the good character and how to interact with your neighbors, how to interact with your family. Now, one important aspect that Islam puts as the very, very, very foundation of our spirituality and our ibadah, it's our emotions. And subhanAllah, you know, when you tell, if I have to tell someone this, you will probably think, no, emotions are not so important. But subhanAllah, when you look at the way Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the sahaba interacted with their salah, interacted with their Quran, interacted with with their dua, everything was based on the emotion and the ability to control the emotion, the ability to express the emotion. And subhanAllah, a lot of times we as the Muslim ummah, we tend to suppress our emotion because we feel that we are unable to actually, you know, what is the right word? We are not able to use that emotion in a way that is so, so important and such an integral part of what we are trying to do and what we are trying to say to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? And what happens is sometimes we don't know how to manage our emotions. So because we can't manage our emotions, we are sometimes all over the place, or we become so cold and unfeeling and numb, and we don't allow ourselves to express ourselves put in a way that we are supposed to, in a way that can benefit us, right? Now, emotional interaction is something that's it's inevitable, it happens, right? SubhanAllah, you can try and you can say to yourself that I'm not going to get into an altercation with someone, I'm not going to get angry, I'm just going to stay away, I'm not going to... But Allah has made that those emotional interactions are part of the journey of your tests to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? So, first and foremost, Islam teaches us moderation, and we've learned this, teaches us moderation in every single thing that we do. And it's aiming to create this equilibrium, that you are always at peace with yourself, subhanAllah. This is the point that we have to come to, this deep sense of equilibrium, that when you are in touch with your emotion and you're in touch with your feelings and you are in acceptance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you get to a very beautiful point in your life, right? Now, what happens if you look at our everyday life? We have high highs and we have extreme positives and extreme negatives. There isn't a very good balance that allows us just to be able to live in a way that is beneficial, in a way that is, you know, subhanAllah, uplifting to us, right? So they ask positive emotions, and let's look at what these positive emotions, right? One is, first of all, you know, love, hub. And the most beautiful hadith on this is that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى يحب لأخيه ما يحب لنفسه. None of you truly have faith until you love for others what you love for yourself. And subhanAllah, that's a massive statement, right? That you need to have this kind of love in your life that allows you to want to give and want to wish well for other people. So this positive, imagine how amazing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tied love with hub, with loving it for your Muslim brother, and iman, Allahu Akbar, right? Your faith is tied to this. And the world that we live in is usually, you know, we are so competitive and we want other people not to move forward in their lives. We want to always make it such that we are at the front of the race. Yet here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is reframing this for us. The positive emotion here is this constant feeling of love and support for other people, subhanAllah, right? So one will be love, right? And then we have determination, we have hope, and amal, which is hope, is something that is such a massive, massive part that where Umar radiallahu anhu always used to say that your religion should always be based between khawf and raja, you know, which is your hope and your fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This should never ever move in one direction and you leave out another direction, right? And subhanAllah, if you look at the way love is described between a husband and a man, between spouses, it's all about that constancy, you know, the deep sense of respect also, subhanAllah, right? So when we look at Islam, emotion is something that is much deeper than temporary things. It's not about, you know, to now I'm feeling so excited, I'm going to do this, no. It's about that constant contentment and deep constancy in our emotions and in the decisions that come from those emotions. Now, when you look at anger, depression, hate, envy, Allahu Akbar, everywhere in the hadith, in the Quran, everywhere there is reference to these things. And subhanAllah, these are all emotions, they're intangible. And yet Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a man came to him and he said to him, you know, give me advice. And Nabi Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, he said, لا تغضب. And again the man asked, give me advice. Again Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لا تغضب. فرددها وفكررها مرارا. He repeated and repeated the same thing. The man was kept asking a question and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam kept saying to him, don't become angry. Then you look at you know, hate. There are so many ahadith, لا تباغضوا ولا تبادروا. Don't have... So Islam is very focused on removing and being very active of removing negative emotions from our lives and replacing them with positive. Now, a Muslim is, subhanAllah, is advised to practice strict control over these destructive emotions, and they are destructive. And subhanAllah, you know, as you were listening to this program, think and reflect to yourself. What about yourself? You know, what about your life? What is your one emotion that can, you know, really, really unhinge you? It's the thing that can make you lose control. And I know in my personal life, subhanAllah, I used to have, you know, as a younger person, I would get angry very quickly. And then, subhanAllah, you know, it would make me so upset at myself in the sense that you get angry and you say things and you regret those things. And it has such a long-term effect. And subhanAllah, it's taken years, and I think it will take more time, many, many more years to come. But you have to be very aware that this is the thing that this emotion controls me. And we as Muslims cannot allow our emotion to control us. We have to find our balance and we have to find our manner of being able to control our emotions, subhanAllah, right? So remember that just as you are going to be asked about everything else when it comes to your ibadah, in the same way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to ask us about our emotions and the way we actually took responsibility for them, right? So the first thing is, you know, when you recognize, as we said, you recognize your emotion. But then subhanAllah, something very, very important to do is to focus on building such a relationship from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that you are aware that this emotion is also coming from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and therefore the ability to control it will also come from Him. So when you are now going through, whether it's envy, whether it's sadness, sometimes you have this, you know, permeating feeling of sadness that just refuses to go away, Or you try as hard as you can, but you still feel that pain in your heart when you see other people going forward. You have to take it back to the door of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? Now, what happens is there's something that's called emotional recycling. And this is, you know, when you take negative emotions and negative energy and you turn it and you move it in a positive direction. For example, when you feel hasad or when you feel pain, when you feel any of these things, you take this and you say, Ya Allah, how can I use these feelings to benefit these people? So if I feel bad towards somebody, I give sadaqah, I go out, you know, out of my way to be kind. I do ihsan. And what happens is you're taking all that negativity and you're saying, I will now bottle, take this up, and express it in a positive manner, subhanAllah, so that it can benefit anyone, right? Now, when we look at emotional interactions between people, and inshallah, we are going to be joined a bit later on the show by Dr. Yumna Minti, alhamdulillah, and we're going to go into detail when it comes to emotions in men, in our young boys, subhanAllah. But let's look at in our interactions that we have between people, right? We do not live isolated. We do not live, you know, on islands. We live constantly interacting with people. What does Islam show us when it comes to this emotion? And subhanAllah, you know, when you usually talk about things like these, like, you know, topics like emotions, we all, you know, think about the person in our life who cannot control the emotions. And you're probably thinking out, yeah, you know, Abi or Dad, look, you're the one who always, you know, you're always getting angry, or you look at your mother, you're always running your tongue. And subhanAllah, it's so easy to see the emotional deficit in somebody else, or you can see that they cannot control it, their own emotions. But you sometimes fail to think about how you are controlling your emotions and what you are doing, subhanAllah, to actually rectify this sort of flying off the handle sometimes, or sometimes losing your temper over simple things, or subhanAllah, showing joy when you have strangers in your home, when friends and family come over, you know, you get so happy, but on a day-to-day basis, you are so upset and irritated in your home with the people that you actually live with. So if you look at Islam, you know, regulates the emotional interactions we have with people. Firstly, we are instructed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to control our tongues, you know. That controlling your tongue is the first key. And what is the key? The key is that you can say what you want to say. But the question is, are you going to be able to deal with the repercussions and the ramifications of saying what it is that you want to say, right? So we are instructed to hold our tongues. So whenever I think of this, you know, whenever I think of the fact that when you are angry, amlik, you know, control your anger by holding your tongue, don't say anything in that moment. I think that it's such a deep statement and such an, you know, an acceptance of the fact that anger is something that happens. And subhanAllah, it does happen, whether you are the most pious person in the world or wherever you may be in your life, we all experience anger. But subhanAllah, you have to physically stop yourself from making statements that might ruin you in the future, thus in this world and in the akhirah, subhanAllah. So when we, you know, when we react emotionally, you at that time, it has to be something that is dignified, something that is respectful, subhanAllah. If you look at the life of our beloved Habib Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he cried in sadness when he lost his son. But at the same time, you know, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam refused to let people believe that, you know, the son is eclipsed because of his sadness, you understand? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has guided every kind of interaction. So he's placed anger there, but at the same time, he's saying to you, this is what you have to do in the time of anger. So it's not wrong that you feel the anger. What is wrong is if you give in to the anger, right? So you have to take control back. There is no excuse. You know, subhanAllah, sometimes if you lose your temper and you say, I just got carried away by my emotions. I couldn't control myself. I had no choice. I just, you know, they made me so angry. And there is no excuse for causing hurt or destruction. Because, you know, your emotion is something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you intellect. And that is why He has made us as ahsanul khaliqeen, the best of creation. Because we have intellect. And emotion can just run with us. But your intellect guides that and controls that and tells you to do this in public or not to do that in public or not to say that. SubhanAllah. When we think of killing and stealing and things like that, you know, we know, no, those are things I will never do. But then when we go further down the line, you come to things like anger, you come to things like saying whatever you want to say, not respecting people. Subhanallah, what happens is you as you're going down the line, you're saying to yourself, no, these are the emotions that are fine to have, and those are the emotions that are not good to have. Whereas in reality, all emotions need to be controlled, and all emotions need to be put under this banner that we are dealing with people, and my emotions are a test from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? Now, so you've got the first one is your interaction amongst people. And then we also interact with animals, we interact with other creatures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I find this so amazing. The Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has guided us and told us that we shouldn't even, you know, like when men go to the masjid, they have to be so careful that there's no garlic on their breath because that will create a difficulty for the angels. The angels won't be able to be around them. And then if you think about, I mean, those are the angels are creation of Allah that we cannot even see. Yet, subhanAllah, even to that extent, the Islam has guided us. Now, when you are looking at animals now, you know, when it comes to emotion with animals, a lot of times, subhanAllah, we undermine this and we don't realize that we are supposed to have kind emotions to animals. And, you know, subhanAllah, when you look at Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, once he was on a trip and a bird was in emotional distress, you know, he saw some of the companions, you know, they were there and they took the nest away. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was so sad. He said, who has hurt the feelings of this bird, taking its youngsters, this bird? So return them to her. This is narrated in Sahih Muslim. So can you understand that your interaction, when it comes to emotional interactions, starts off with human beings. But subhanAllah, even it moves on to the creatures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and more so to the innocent creations of Allah, like your children and younger people, subhanAllah, that sometimes it can be so easy for you to just walk all over them because you are older, because you have more experience, because you are in a position of power. Now, when we go on to Islam and emotional intelligence, and this is what we have to look at in detail. So emotional intelligence is something that is so, this is your EQ, right? So you know in Islam, our focus here, you know, EQ, emotional intelligence skills, is something that, you know, it can be learned and it can be practiced by everyone. And these skills are the true measure of success in your practical life, because your IQ is something, your intelligence is something that is given to you and by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yes, you can develop it. Yes, you can learn. But generally speaking, that is given to you by Allah. But your emotional intelligence is something that you can change and you have control over. And you have to start taking this responsibility back into your hands. And what is the responsibility you are doing? You are saying to yourself that I want to examine my life. I want to make muhasabah and see, am I reacting or overreacting to situations around me? Am I living between high highs and low lows? SubhanAllah, say you come home and food is not prepared, or you are in traffic and there's, you know, a traffic jam, and you get so upset because you literally worked up. You worked up because you feel it. You know, I am so angry in this moment because this person is not responding to me, and you go on a rant. Now, this happens to all of us. It happens to all of us. But Allahu Akbar, if you look at the amount of sin that comes out because of not controlling your emotion, one is, subhanAllah, you are immediately you say things you regret. Secondly, subhanAllah, you go into rants, often include ghiba in them. And subhanAllah, all of these impact the manner and the way that we are then respected by ourselves and the people around us, subhanAllah. Beloved listeners, inshallah, we're going to take a short break, and when we get back, we'll be joined on the line by Dr. Yumna Munti, inshallah, and we're going to be looking in detail at emotions, and especially in relation to young boys, inshallah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Ahlan wa sahlan wa marhaban bikum. Welcome back to Hayatun Tayyiba with myself, Malima Shakira Hanja. Alhamdulillah, thumma alhamdulillah. We have been looking at emotions. We have been looking at how Islam, you know, determines emotions. And subhanAllah, you know, one of my favorite hadith is that when a person recites the Quran, then you should cry. And if you can't cry, then you should pretend to cry. And it shows us, subhanAllah, that, you know, it's one of the most beautiful things, is that breaking down and allowing yourself to feel that kind of emotion. Now, alhamdulillah, we've looked at the general sense of, you know, controlling negative emotion and expressing positive emotion. And we now move on. We want to look at, when you look at the way society has pushed us or directed us in a way that for generations, we look at, you know, boys, and most cultures have to have boys to be tough and they have to be rough and they have to just have this sort of control when it comes to being a man. Man. And what happens is you create a whole generation, and we see this an entire generation that is teaching young boys to suppress the way that they feel, subhanAllah, right? And by encouraging them to be tough and stoic, we don't realize the damaging consequences to their mental health in later life. And subhanAllah, that inability to create close connections, because it stems from being able to express who you are and express your feelings. So alhamdulillah, to delve more into this topic, I'm joined online by Dr. Yumna Manji. Alhamdulillah, Dr. Yumna Manji is a specialist psychiatrist. She's currently working in both state and private practice. She's also an associate lecturer at the University of School of Clinical Medicine. Excuse me. And she's also involved in the undergraduate and postgraduate medical teaching, as well as supervision of medical research. Dr. Yumna, ahlan wa sahlan, welcome to Radio Islam International.
Wa alaykum salam, and jazakallah for the opportunity.
Okay, bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Sorry about that, I just got a frog in my throat. Inshallah, we'll just take a small break and I'll be back in a minute. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Dr. Yumna, sorry about that. Quite dramatic entrance, alhamdulillah. I think we're all suffering with this cough that refuses to go away, alhamdulillah. Dr. Yumna, jazakumullah khair, welcome to Radio Islam, and jazakallah for your time with us today. We are looking at this interesting topic, and inshallah, before we delve into it, I wanted to ask you, in your own experience, and you, alhamdulillah, you've got extensive background. Do you find that you have find a difference in emotional expression within your students?
Walaikum salam again, Maliman, jazakallah for the opportunity. I hope you're feeling well.
Alhamdulillah.
So definitely. I mean, I think it's quite a well-established fact. And it's quite a sort of a perpetuated kind of thing over years and years that we do find differences in terms of how men and women, or rather boys and girls, experience emotions differently. And then that obviously then translates to, in terms of like from my clinical experience when we see patients, it also translates into the kind of patients we see, or, you know, the kind of people who would then step forward and seek assistance for mental illness or mental problems. It definitely has an impact on that. And I think that's why having topics like these and having discussions like these on public platforms is so important.
SubhanAllah. You know, that is the motivator behind it all, subhanAllah, is that if we can just start conversations, inshallah, we can educate and we can change cultural norms that have been so indoctrinated into our society. And subhanAllah, you know, now being a new mom, I noticed that there's so many things that we didn't realize that it's something that, even if you feel, I'm not a person like that, but you find yourself saying these things that don't cry, boys shouldn't be crying, you know, boy, you're so strong, you're supposed to be strong. But when you look at statements like this and phrases like this, how do you think they, first of all, impact us and impact young boys? And do you feel that we need to change the way that we speak?
Yeah, definitely. So first of all, just to kind of give a sort of a background in terms of, you know, how we view this in terms of the genders. So, I mean, it's a well-recognized and a well-established fact that in all societies and cultures, women and men have fundamental differences. So, you know, we look different, we dress differently, and as boys and girls grow up, they are then assigned different roles in society. But then what we then do as a society is then we try and enhance those differences by making it such that boys and girls then behave differently and think differently. And in doing so, we try and make it that they express their emotions and they express their behaviors differently. So in general, we perceive girls and women to be soft and caring and these sensitive and nurturing types of beings. And they are then therefore also perceived to be the emotional ones. So it's okay for a woman or for a female to express both positive and negative emotions, and that's seen as okay. But when it comes to boys and men, we expect them, like you said, Mualima, to be strong and stoic. They need to be firm and fearless and scared of nothing. And by extension, this then means that they shouldn't be showing any emotions that would make them appear weak. So things like showing sadness, crying and showing, you know, visible expressions of things like despair or hopelessness or disappointment, we perceive that as not being manly or masculine, and we think that it's not okay to show those kind of emotions. And like you said, from an early age, we then start almost unthinkingly creating this kind of impression where we say to boys, you know, don't cry, boys shouldn't be doing this, people will think you a girl if you do that, you need to be strong, wipe those tears, those kind of things. And when we consider emotions, being able to express emotions, alhamdulillah, is sort of like, it's like a language, so a body language, if you will, between individuals. When somebody expresses an emotion and somebody else can see it, it teaches us that it gives us an indication or an idea of how we can support each other, or we can assist each other, or fulfill each other's needs. So, for example, if somebody cries, we know that that person is sad and they may need to be comforted, and it's not the time to, you know, crack jokes or congratulate them for something, for example. Right. And when somebody is happy and we can see on their face that they're happy, then we know that we can be happy with them and we can share and celebrate in those moments. So being able to express these emotions is how we're able to access help and support from others, and at the same time, it's how we're able to regulate our own emotions and understand more about ourselves. So when we shut these down and we say to boys things like, don't cry, don't feel this, you're not supposed to be sad, you got hurt, but you must just get up and, you know, life must go on, you're teaching them that it's not okay to experience those emotions. And you are denying them that fundamental aspect of being able to understand themselves, and then also being able to get that support from others and get that reassurance from others.
SubhanAllah, this is so important. You know, Dr. Yumna, as you're speaking, it just brings back to mind a time in our life. My dad and my father-in-law passed away 6 months from each other, you know. So my father had passed away in December, and 6 months later, my father-in-law. And, you know, looking at the different ways that we reacted, like I lost my dad and then my husband lost his. Yet, SubhanAllah, he just went into the shell, you know, he went into the shell. And I, knowing him, so I understand that's how he is. At that time, I felt a lot of, like, you know, it was very difficult to help him, to assist him in those moments, even to support him emotionally, because he felt that I'm a man, I cannot show it. And you had to look absolutely closely to his face to be able to see, you know, is there actual emotion? Is he sad? And he just would go quiet. And SubhanAllah, you know, many women out there face a kind of a similar thing, is that we are taught to, you know, speak, and to we're always expressing ourselves, we're crying, we're showing our emotion, and yet sometimes, SubhanAllah, you find that the men around you aren't able to do this, right? And if you look at the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you know, when he lost his son, at that time he was crying. And Abu Rahman bin Awf radiallahu anhu, he remarked, he said, O Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, even you are weeping. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, you know, it's a mercy. He said, oh, Ibn Awf, Ibn Awf, this is a mercy from Allah. He continued to weep, you know, he cried, but he determined something very important. He said, you know, the eyes shed tears, the heart grieves, but we will never say except that which is pleases our Lord. And SubhanAllah, this is the balance, right? And this is what I want you to explain to us a little bit more, is that toxic masculinity is about complete control over your emotions and not expressing it, right? So whereas in Islam, you can have that emotion and you can express it, but you control what you are saying and what you are doing from that emotion. So can you break this down a little bit more for us, this toxic masculinity and how it impacts us?
Okay, so you are 100% right in what you say. So just looking at toxic masculinity as a concept, so basically when we tell boys things like, you know, don't cry, excuse me, or be strong, be a man, what we're then doing is we perpetuating and reaffirming these very incorrect assumptions about what the ideal male should look like in a society. So this like set of ideals and this norm, that is supposed to dictate how men behave in society and how they think and how they act and how we're supposed to see men behaving. This is what we refer to as toxic masculinity. And it's the stereotype of men being not showing emotion. And then by extension of that, they come across as being unfeeling or uncaring or not having these emotions, and they need to be strong at all times. And we create this negative sort of connotation around a man who shows emotion or a man who expresses emotion. So society will, for example, look down on that man and consider that that is a weakness, or that is a feminine sort of trait, to be able to show those emotions. So by doing this and by assigning such a negative kind of impression to somebody who experiences or who shows emotion, we teach that these feelings are inappropriate and we need to hide them or bury them. And unfortunately, the extension of this is then they're not dealt with appropriately. And these men don't deal with their emotions. And as I've said before, and like you've spoken and you've given the example, it's so hard to then be able to think of ways or think around how you are able to support men in society. Because as much as men are the stronger ones, ultimately all of us are human beings and we all go through difficult times and all of us will need support from each other. So that is the beauty, I think, of how men and women are supposed to complement each other, is that they are supposed to be their, each other's garments or each other's support. But it becomes difficult to support somebody where, you're not getting that kind of feedback and you don't know how to support another individual.
SubhanAllah. I think, when you look at the life of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, what you're saying is so important because, there was one instance, I'm not sure if you know this one, but it's so beautiful, where the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he hugged and he held his grandchildren. And a man expressed such amazement at this, shock. Like, he couldn't understand that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam would express emotion to his children like that, So when we look at this, sometimes you might think that this is in the past and, just almost, 1,400 and something years ago. But the reality is that we live in societies like that, where we will show certain preferences to girls, we'll hug and hold them. But as boys get older, we find that we can't, express them with them in the same way, and we can't teach them that expression as well. So Dr. Imran, can you tell me, right, from this entrenched cultural values, society has put it into place, how do we now move from them and develop ourselves, inshallah?
So I think there's two parts to that. And I think the one is that we have to understand and we have to be quite cognizant of the consequences of these types of behaviors in the past. So we have to be quite clear on where that's led us to, and then realize for ourselves that going forward, like, this can't be the norm. There are quite strong consequences in terms of expecting males or creating or perpetuating the stereotype that males have to suppress their feelings. What it means is that, as I said before, men will then grow up, or boys will grow up, to not be able to recognize or regulate their own emotions and not be able to seek appropriate or adequate support. And as a result, when they experience difficult emotions, or when they experience losses or grief or other disappointments or difficulties in their lives, they can cope with this in very maladaptive sort of ways. And this is where we see problems like drugs or substance use or other sort of, reckless, distracting behaviors coming up, because these are then ways that they may try and cope with these kind of problems. And I think these are, these are things that a lot of people don't like to talk about. So we can't always be tiptoeing around these conversations. The time has come that we have to discuss these things openly. So things like substance use and domestic violence and depression and anxiety and suicide, these are things that we need to talk about. And these all, if you think about it, these are all as a consequence of us not being able to address these emotions and address these difficulties. So we have to recognize the consequences of expecting males in society to suppress these emotions, which then means that they may deal with them in these maladaptive ways, or they may then develop problems like depression, anxiety, or suicide later on in life. And this then makes it even more difficult for them to access help, because for a man to acknowledge that he has depression or anxiety or is feeling suicidal is just as much a taboo as a man, expressing emotion. So we need to recognize that we have to move forward from this. And I think the other thing is that, like I've said, we can't be tiptoeing around these difficult conversations. So, historically, we shy away from these kind of things, and we think that if we don't talk about these difficulties, they don't exist, or they're going to go away, or they're going to disappear. Mm-hmm. But we know that these things don't happen. As time goes on, mental illness is on the rise. There's problems like COVID and economic difficulties and joblessness, and it affects all societies, and ours is no different. And these are problems that all of us are facing at the moment. So we need to start having these honest conversations, and we need to be open about it. We have a whole new generation of boys, that will grow up to experience the same kind of difficulties in life. And this is our chance to then take away that stereotype and, like, change that generational problem about boys growing up in a certain way. We need to be able to provide correct and useful information on how males can access help, and not, ridicule individuals who seek help, or not create the stereotype of boys, not crying, not showing emotion. We've got so many platforms to be able to do this. So things like our radio stations and our community platforms, schools and mosques, our religious gatherings, and we need to maybe consider using these platforms in much more constructive ways to address these kind of problems.
SubhanAllah. I'm so happy you mentioned the substance abuse and addictions itself, because If you speak to any mom who has a teenager or who has a young boy in her home, one of the main things that the challenge and the struggle is, how do you get them away from the screen time? And sometimes you wonder, how is it that somebody's sitting for so many hours and doing something so repetitive, and they're able to just numb themselves, not speak a word, not say a word. And it goes back to this. It goes back to this, but you are unable to express and you're unable to show all the things that you know that you should be feeling, but yet you have been told your entire life that that is not the right thing to be expressing. So you go into this subhanAllah online world, and there are different extensions of this. I know parents who are struggling with youngsters vaping and struggling with them, smoking weed and things like this. And because it's something that we don't speak about, and we don't realize that it's actually a deeper problem. It's a deep problem now in our societies. And inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it that we start breaking these kind of, taboo and quietness of these subjects, and we start to speak about them, inshallah. Dr. Yumna, I want to ask you now that when you speak about, when you speak to families about suppressed emotions, right, you'll find that with older males, especially, that 40 to 60 generation, that they are unable to, sort of tell you what they want or what they feel, and they sort of go with the flow. And, I a lot of times, you make the choice, you make the decision, you're the wife, you run things. But this suppressed emotion can lead to a lot of mental health problems. And I've noticed that, subhanAllah, sometimes it leads to a lot of aggression as well. So I want to ask you, from your experience, how does these suppressed emotions link itself to mental health?
Okay, so you're right. There are definitely consequences in terms of an individual's mental health, with not being able to express or regulate or even just recognize your own emotions or recognize the difficulties that you're experiencing. And if we look at quite sort of robust clinical research, what we do know is that men are less likely than women to seek assistance for mental health needs because, again, it's viewed as this weakness, to have a mental health problem or to experience depression or anxiety is viewed as a weakness. So men are less likely to seek assistance than women. But at the same time, what we do know is that in terms of mental health difficulties, the suicide rate in men is three times higher than in females. So men are three times more likely to find themselves in that sort of despairing, desolate kind of position where they contemplate suicide. And this is, like I said, much more likely in men than in women. Also, men are more likely to use quite violent or final sort of means than women to commit suicide. So they are at a higher risk of experiencing those kind of difficulties that lead to the point where they feel they can no longer live anymore and then attempt suicide. So we have to look at what that means and how serious that is, that they're unable to access help, but then they will then consider these final means to get out of these difficulties or to stop themselves from feeling this kind of pain. Men are also less likely to have those typical sort of depressive symptoms that we see in the general population or in females. So like you said, Malima, they're not the type to talk about the emotions, and instead they'll defer to the female and it will be like, is best, or they'll be quiet. So they're less likely to have these very typical sort of depressive symptoms. So feeling sad and crying and, voicing their depression and their sadness to others. And this makes it much harder for them to be able to be diagnosed, because somebody's going to look at that and then not think that that's a typical sort of depressive episode or depressive feelings. And again, this is a consequence of males being taught not to express those emotions early on in life so that they get buried. Mm-hmm. They can't be recognized by the individual themselves, and neither can the people around them be able to understand that this is what this person is feeling and this is the kind of help they need. So there are serious consequences in terms of mental health, and then again, serious consequences in terms of somebody being able to access help and access treatment for their mental health. And this makes it so difficult. And this is one of the things that we need to look at when we look forward and move forward to try and take away this kind of idea that, men shouldn't express emotion, because these are the kind of problems we're going to have later on in life.
SubhanAllah. And, the fact that you mentioned, I'm boggled by it. Three times, men are three times more likely to commit suicide, subhanAllah. And, it just goes to show you how deep the problem actually is. And now when you're looking at it from a different perspective, because... The one thing is that, it's many, many years. It's such a deep cultural stigma. But let's look at it from the point of view of as a wife now, where you are dealing with your husband, or in future when you're looking at how to look after your children and how to actually develop them in a way where they are able to express what they are feeling. What positive or what practical tips can you give to our listeners out there from a female perspective to assist in these kind of situations? Because a lot of times when a man is quiet, you'll find a woman just constantly speaking and speaking and moving beyond that emotion and trying to speak over that sort of difficulty. But maybe being, you know, so aware of ourselves as women can also, you know, have such effects and such harm on that relationship, because you're constantly taking control, not allowing that your husband to come to terms with what he's feeling. So what do you do? Do you give them space? Do you take 10 steps backwards? How do you deal with something like this?
Yeah, I think that's a bit of a tough one, considering that, you know, we've like perpetuated these entrenched sort of ideas. But I think that if there was one thing that I had to say, it's that, you know, communication is a two-way street. So as much as, you know, as the, I suppose that's us as women, is, you know, when there's this awkward silence, everyone wants to fill the gap. The consequence and the negative consequence of that is they're not leaving that space. And again, that perpetuates the stereotype, you know, of the woman being the chatty one and the one to fill the space and the one to be like emotional. And again, that's the stereotype that we put on females. And that fits in with that stereotype of males, you know, being the quiet, the stoic one, the one who's not going to express emotion. So, you know, I think it necessitates change from both sides. Excuse me, and it necessitates these sort of like uncomfortable conversations. And I think if anything, as couples or as family members, like as males and females in family, so mother and son or husband and wife or whatever it is, like we need, I suppose, to listen to each other more. And when I say listen, I don't just mean what somebody's saying, but also that body language. So we need to be more attentive to each other, I think, and to each other's needs, because it is going to happen that, you know, somebody may not be able to come forward and express verbally their needs, like, I'm sad today and I need a hug, or, you know, this is how I'm feeling and this is how I need help. But if we can listen to each other and we can listen to each other's body language much more, you know, we can try and support each other more. And then again, coming to the point of how we raise our boys and how we raise our sons going forward, again, it needs to be this kind of transparent sort of relationship where, you know, I think we have this tendency to think that children are children and they should be seen and not heard, kind of, you know, that kind of mentality. But it doesn't negate the fact that children experience emotions and they experience difficult emotions. So, you know, if we have a bad day, so if you've had a bad day at work or you've had an argument with like your mother-in-law or whatever it is, for example, we experience those difficulties and we know that for a few hours maybe we're going to be grumpy or we're going to be sad or we're going to have a difficult time, and we expect that people around us understand that. I feel that in the same way, when you have children, you have to understand that being a child doesn't mean that children don't experience negative emotions. So we need to respect that as well. And we need to be able to have open channels of communication so that when our children experience emotions, we don't shut them down. And this goes for boys as well as girls, that we don't shut them down and we learn to start talking to them about their emotions, because it has the benefit of them being able to understand their emotions better and be able to regulate their own emotions better. And even if it may not be that they need support and reassurance from someone else, but they're able to soothe their own emotions better. So it's just about developing a child that is well-rounded emotionally. And this child then grows up into an emotionally mature adult. And then, you know, is able to function as an emotionally mature adult.
SubhanAllah, this is so, so important. I don't know about you, but I think we need to have a follow-up of this conversation. We have to move into much more detail, inshallah. Alhamdulillah, I've learned so much from you. May Allah subhanAllah reward you. And I hope, inshallah, this is also something that our listeners are learning from. Inshallah, in the future, I definitely want us to move, you know, into the actual effects of it and what we can tangibly do, inshallah, to shift this kind of conversations, and inshallah help our young men out there, inshallah, as well as our older men, inshallah, and us as women as well, to find the way of parenting in a very positive way, inshallah. Tafimna, jazakallah khair for joining us here at Radio Islam International. It has been an absolute pleasure. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you with your time. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.